Come on and take a walk with me through this green and growing land. Walk through the meadows and the mountains and the sand. Walk through the valleys and the rivers and the plains. Walk through the sun and walk through the rain. Here is a land full of power and glory, beauty that words cannot recall. All her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom. Glory shall rest on us all. From Colorado, Kansas, and the Carolinas too, Virginia and Alaska, from the old to the new, Texas and Ohio and the California shore, tell me who could ask for more. Here is a land full of power and glory, beauty that words cannot recall. All her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom, glory shall rest on us all. Yet she's only as rich as the poorest of the poor, only as free as a padlocked prison door, only as strong as our love for this land, only as tall as we stand. For here is a land full of power and glory, beauty that words cannot recall. All her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom, glory shall rest on us all. Come on and take a walk with me through this green and growing land. Walk through the meadows and the mountains and the sand. Walk through the valleys and the rivers and the plains. Walk through the sun and walk through the rain. Here is a land full of power and glory, beauty that words cannot recall. For her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom. Glory shall rest on us all.
When I think of the 4th of July, I think of my dad. He lived in a small town in northern Iowa called West Bend, and it's the home of the Grotto, so I'm sure a lot of people maybe know it from that. But he was an integral part in helping plan their 4th of July celebration every year. He's a strong believer in community service and giving back to your community, and he dedicated a lot of time to that. And they had just a great celebration around the 4th of July. It was a parade with horses and tractors and old cars. And one year, even our family did a float. It was our family reunion, and so we had a hay rack that we all sat on and decorated. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it was a great joy. And people came out for the street dance and the great food stands. You could get an Iowa chop, you know, all sorts of good food to eat. And then, of course, the fireworks at night. I'm just really proud of everything that my dad did to help make that. He's now kind of since retired from that, but it really helps people come from the area, from other towns, to come to West Bend's celebration. And he was, I think, a big part of making that happen. And he's instilled in myself and my siblings, you know, the importance of giving back to your community through volunteering for those sorts of things. So happy 4th of July, Dad.
For here is a land full of power and glory. beauty that words cannot recall. All her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom.
Glory. My memory of 4th of July is, for a long time I lived in Belmont, Iowa, which is just a north to the north an hour. And what I liked about the 4th of July at Belmont is they have, at least they advertise it, the largest ground display of fireworks in the state. And so they have the typical aerial fireworks, but then for, I don't know, it seemed like forever, they have all these ground displays and a narration that's just really fun and lots of like fountains and all that kind of stuff for the fireworks. So I really enjoy that. And the other thing I liked about the Belmont fireworks is that was the first time I'd lived in a small town. I grew up in Ames. I lived in Mason City and Iowa City. So the 4th of July parade there featuring tractors and combines and fire trucks, that was just sort of unique to my experience. And the first time that I did that, we had a new pastor, and I was standing with the pastor's wife, and she came from Union, New Jersey, which is, you know, 6 million people or something. And she comes to this little 4th of July parade with tractors and combines, and she's like taking pictures and sending them back to New York. You're not going to believe this, what they do in Belmont, Iowa. So that's just one of my fond memories, is watching the parade and watching the ground display in Belmont.
This is Gail Seiler, reflecting on my 4th of July celebrations over the years. I would say that I'm not a terribly patriotic person. I don't really believe nationalism advances peace in the world. I've been out of the country for a number of 4ths of July. I've been in England, in South America for some. And although I'm not a big rah-rah 4th of July celebrator, somehow being out of the country on 4th of July always made me a little sad that it wasn't any holiday or anything at all. I lived in Canada for 7 years also, and same thing there. It would be 4th of July, and I would just kind of look around me and say, oh, it's just Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever. It's not 4th of July. So although I've never really put a lot of stock into it in the U.S., it is a different feeling when you're in a foreign country and there's no acknowledgement of it at all.
Every year on the 4th of July, my family throws a block party for my neighborhood. So it's my house and my two next-door neighbors. We use all three of our yards and driveways and stuff, and we just have tons of people over. They don't have to be from the neighborhood. They can just be friends or whatever. And it's been going on for at least a decade now. A lot of the time my dad sets up our garage as like a band space, so we've had local bands come in the past. Sometimes it's just like a music setup where we just play playlists over and over again. And the tradition kind of started because I used to play Little League Baseball, and a lot of the kids from the neighborhood were on my team. So we would play the All-Star game on the 4th of July. Every year we'd have a parade and then play the game, and then we would come back and we would all be hanging out anyway. So we just kind of decided to have a party. So we've been doing that for years. We would always play the All-Star game, then come back, and all of us kids would team up against all our dads, and we'd have a huge wiffle ball game in my one friend's backyard, and then we'd have our cookout and stuff, and go watch fireworks, and kind of a whole big experience.
When you say watch fireworks, did you move somewhere else to watch the fireworks? Or?
Yeah, technically can see the fireworks from our yard, but we usually go. There's like a big local park with a giant hill that everybody kind of like sets up a blanket on and just lays and then can see it. So we just kind of walk over there and watch fireworks.
And
there.
About how many people do you usually have at one of your block parties?
Anywhere from like 60 to 100.
Wow, that is a big party.
All right, well, the story takes place in the northwest suburbs of the Chicago area, a.k.a. Chicagoland. In 2009, on the 4th of July, we had extended family come over from St. Louis. And they always bring fireworks up, and we always, you know, the tradition is barbecue, whatever's on TV, eat, and go do fireworks and do whatever just as a family. And during, I think it was around 4 p.m. when we were all just outside, just this flash storm just came from nowhere, right? It started getting windy. It was pouring. It was gray. We started putting everything inside. 10 minutes later, we looked outside. We saw that the gazebo had disappeared. The wind took it up, and it was just gone. Our cousin, one of our cousins, said she did see it fly away, flying away somewhere. And so after the storm was, like, done, it was done, like, 40 minutes was a quick one. We went out to look for it. We found it 200 yards away from the house in a neighbor's yard. And we went and got it. It was a tan gazebo, 20 by 20 by 20 gazebo. And it was actually pretty cool. I guess I did kind of like the gazebo. But, yeah, after the storm, like, took it up. It was bent, but we were able to fix it. It was just a good, relaxing summer. I just enjoyed it. And, you know, 4th of July, I guess, personified that summer. And my enjoyment of my family, which was still the same now, but I still like them. Loosely.
I was like 12 years old, and there was like a bunch of friends, but we were all just, you know, enjoying our 4th of July, and there's this guy who was like one of my friends' friends, because she like lived in a neighboring town. He was like hanging out with her, and he was really weird, and they all like peer pressured him into like asking me out, and then they all peer pressured me into saying yes. I was zero interest in this guy. He was like a weird kind of like punk rocker. It didn't make any sense. Like, he flat ironed his hair, and it was weird considering like me being another black female. I was like, what's going on there? He like asked me out. Granted, we were 12. We were like 12 years old, sixth graders, and I was like, okay. And then like the whole day I didn't touch him. Like, I didn't want to touch him. And by the end of the day, like right before nighttime, like when the fireworks started, I was like, I don't think this is working out. We need to break up. So I had a relationship that lasted like 5 hours when I was 12 years old, and that was one of my 4th of Julys.
We're far between sundown's finish and midnight's broken toll. We ducked inside the door with thunder crashing. As majestic bells of old struck shadows in the sun, seeming to be the chimes of freedom flashing. Flashing for the warrior whose strength is not to fight. Flashing for the refugee on his unarmed road of flight. And for each and every underdog soldier in the night, we gazed upon the chimes of.
4th of July has always been my favorite holiday. We would go out to my grandparents' farm and shoot off fireworks from Missouri. We'll go out to my great aunt and uncle's lake house from time to time and water ski and watch the little red, white, and blue. Yeah, it just has always been kind of this bread and butter American experience. The George Washingtons and the John Adams and the Thomas Jeffersons of the world didn't fight for not just regime change, but social change, for cultural revolution, for me to not be able to enjoy a night with family of setting off fireworks and going on boat rides. The Independence Day isn't for me just about being free from the British government. It's about establishing this humanist idea that governments are supposed to serve the people. I wouldn't have the standard of living that I do without the Declaration of Independence. We just would be valued differently as human beings. I think that would have impacts on how happy we were when we were with family.
I do remember one 4th of July when I was living in Baltimore. My daughter was little, so in an effort to do the right thing, we went to the fireworks down at what's called the Inner Harbor in Baltimore. And we were down there most of the evening watching the fireworks, which they set off from a barge out in the harbor. It's quite a nice place to watch the fireworks, but a big crowd. And so it took forever to get home from there. And when I got back to our apartment, walked up the stairs to my apartment, and the door to my apartment was kicked in, and the apartment had been robbed while we were at the fireworks. So that was kind of a memorable ending to that 4th of July. The thieves apparently broke into the basement, maybe under the noise of 4th of July in West Baltimore, which was probably quite noisy, and then the fireworks being loud and other firecrackers and fireworks and probably guns going off, and used that opportunity to break in and took, you know, didn't have anything terribly expensive, but took a TV and I can't remember what else. But probably one of the funniest things was my daughter was maybe 7 years old at the time, and she went into her bedroom and came back out and very seriously said, "Mom, I don't think they took anything from my room." So all of her toys and stuffed animals were apparently safe, and that was important. She also then proceeded in the next day to make a cardboard TV with knobs and so on out of a box. And we put that in the place where the TV was so we wouldn't miss the TV. She thought that would be a good consolation to make me feel better for, and maybe herself feel better for having some of our belongings stolen on that 4th of July. Those are my 4th of July memories. Who knows what this 4th of July will bring.
Unexpectedly we watch with faces in here while the walls were tight. And as the echo of the wedding bells before the blowing rain, there's our bend of the wild bells are light.
My mother died in 2004. I think her favorite 4th of July memory would be that of being at our cottage at Lake Okoboji. And she would have had fond memories of that place. And I remember celebrating the bicentennial there. And I've seen a picture with her holding up the flag. And as for my father, he died in 2010, and he actually died on July 1st. So this is the 6th anniversary of his death. So I realized that the 4th of July fell on Sunday, and there's a social hour after the Sunday morning program. And I knew that, generally speaking, people did not hang around, like especially in the summer, you know, they would be off to other events. But I arranged for some of my pie baking friends to make pie, and I can't remember if it was the first cherries off of my cherry tree that I planted in 2009 or if it was strawberries from the Berry Patch Farm, but certainly it was locally grown food and picket fence ice cream. And it was wonderful. It was like having a mini picnic on a Sunday morning, and people stayed and really enjoyed themselves.
With Howard Kyle, who is the Grand Marshal for the Ames 4th of July Parade.
It's an honor to be asked to be Grand Marshal. It's an experience I've never had. I'm going to enjoy it.
Okay, so you've never done this before.
No.
And do you know what it entails? You said you were going to ride in a car.
Yeah.
Do you ride at the beginning of the parade then?
Right behind the police car and the honor guard.
And are you going to wear something special?
I'll wear my summer uniform, which is a white shirt. I'll have my cap on, signifying American Legion. And something cool.
You're in the American Legion. That means that you served in a foreign war, or you served in the military?
Served in the military.
And where did you serve?
I served during the Korean War, and I was stateside. I was in Air Training Command, and that you just prepare people to go overseas. I was ground crew. They were just taking advanced experience. Most of them were transferring from different aircraft to jets at that time, and they had to come into the base and take their jet training and prepare for combat.
And what exactly was your role or your expertise?
I was a B-47 electrician. One of the people that I got to know fairly well was Colonel Tibbetts, who dropped the atomic bomb.
Really?
Yeah.
And how did you get to know him?
Because he came in to take jet train on the B-47 bomber.
So when you were training him on the B-47, his deed had already been done. His famous deed had been done.
I knew his deed had been done because I started out training on B-29s.
Okay, and that's the one that dropped the bomb?
Yeah. And I had several meetings with him after the war, after I got out of the service, after they started these tours with the different aircraft, and people like him would come and speak, make himself present. So I got to meet him several times.
What was he like?
He was just a common, wonderful man.
Colonel Tibbetts.
Very down to earth. Well, he was an Iowan. He had to be.
I didn't know that. Did you grow up in Iowa then?
Mary Greeley Hospital was only 15 years old when I made my first visit there.
A long time Ames resident.
A long time ago. Wow. I've spent all but, about 8 years in the Ames community.
And that's when you were serving in the military?
That was while I was in the military, and then I farmed over by Nevada and up in northeast Iowa and drove truck for a few years. I served in Texas, Kansas, Illinois, and Florida.
So back to the parade. You've probably been active in the Legion for a good long time then.
Well, quite a while. I was not early on because I belonged to the Moose before that, and I took up my time. I was busy with the enrollment there, the same as I am with the Honor Guard here, and you know, my brother-in-law got me talked into joining here, so.
And why do you think they selected you to be this year's parade grand marshal?
They asked American Legion for somebody to do it. And the one fellow they asked, he going to wait 2 years so he can be 100 when he does it.
Oh, I wish the listeners could see Howard's smile. But Howard's smile will be on parade on July 4th. Well, Howard, I hope you have a great time.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. The fellow that is driving the car that I'm going to ride in, and I'm older than the car is, and it's just about as old as I am. It's a 1932 Ford Roadster, but I've known him since he was
a little one, a toddler.
A little kid. Everybody likes the parade names, it seems like, so.
Well, have a great time.
Well, I'm planning on it.
Okay, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Howard Kyle, the Grand Marshal of the 2016 Ames 4th of July Parade.
Thank you. I'm Susan Franzen, and for the last 20 years or more, Fritz and I have spent our 4th of Julys on our sailboat, our 36-foot sailboat, someplace on the water. The most memorable of all was in Detroit. Now, I have to give you a little background if you aren't familiar with sailboats or marinas. A marina is kind of like an RV park on the water. So it's a lot of boats very close together with plug-ins and places to get water and just down the dock, restrooms with showers. So this is sort of what we expected from a marina. But in Detroit, the situation is different. And there was a new city marina that year that we read about months before we got there. And so we made a reservation at the Irma Henderson Marina with no idea where it was or anything about it. When we arrived, we found that it was a beautiful, brand new marina right across the river from Belle Isle. So we had almost the same neighborhood as the elite yacht club. And it was very, very large. It was actually about a quarter of a mile from the end of the dock where we were to the office and the place where you take showers. But what was really amazing were our neighbors in the marina. Now, ordinarily, in most marinas, usually the motorboat people didn't speak to the sailboat people and vice versa. But here in Detroit, in this brand new marina, there were beautiful boats of this type all lined up with gliders and park benches out in front and lights. They had articulated flamingos and lighted palm trees and lights around the dock. And we soon realized that the people who introduced themselves, all of whom were black, everyone in the marina was black. And they were treating these as summer homes. They had day jobs in Detroit, and then they'd come out in the evening and change their clothes and pour a drink and sit out on their gliders and talk to the neighbors. But the remarkable thing was the way they welcomed us and the curiosity they had about us, because many of them had never seen the interior of a sailboat, and we hadn't seen the interior of these very luxurious boats they were living on, with wall-to-wall carpeting, full-size refrigerators, with ice makers. Now, we don't even have an electric ice maker. We just use blocks of ice to keep our food cold. But they offered us bags from their refrigerators of extra ice. But it's the first time I've ever felt ashamed that my boat was so shabby. They looked down and they said, "Oh, where's your air?" Meaning, where's your air conditioning? Because, of course, their boats, they would have had a hard time without air conditioning. The theory is we get all of our air for sailing. But anyway, we have fans, but they were just so generous. They would give us rides. We needed to buy something out in Grosse Pointe, because that's where the sailing store was. They didn't have any sailing stores down in the neighborhood we were in. So one woman drove us out in her white Jaguar, and she did tell us that there was a time not very long ago when she would not have been allowed to drive out in Grosse Pointe. Mm. So we learned a lot about Detroit, and when I hear about the problems that they have now, I think, what was that neighborhood be like now? Of course, the people that had these boats lived down in the suburbs. They were not personally so affected, but they were often working in the city. They knew the people. Mm-hmm. But for that brief time, they were so gracious and generous. And 4th of July, especially, everybody had barbecue. And we had to eat a sample of everybody's barbecue. We just had such a grand time. They were so curious about where we'd been, and they were, in some cases, inspired to take a little bit longer trip than just around Belle Isle, which is sort of where they've been going before.
It was in Florida, and it was the summer before I graduated college, and everything was still somewhat calm, and there wasn't as much turmoil as happens when you graduate college and you're trying to find where you're going to go next, and it gets a little chaotic and stressful and things like that. I remember I was dating someone at the time, and we got to go and be out on the boat when the fireworks were going off at 9 p.m., and it was just the view of the fireworks reflecting off the water and all of the boats around and people just kind of just hearing the water and the fireworks and everything else was silent. And it's a very strange feeling when you have that many people around on the water. And so it's just kind of one of those fond memories to look back on. And it was during a good time in my life personally. Yeah. And we were with good company and we're not dating anymore, but it was at the time it was good. Right. So kind of to finish off that summer, it was a great memory to have.
In 1995, my nephew was marrying a singer from Pandora, a Mexican band, and I flew to Mexico City and drove to Cocoyoc, which nobody knew what that was. It's a resort south of Mexico City. And they had a fabulous wedding in this old colonial setting. The oven they used to bake was built in the early 1500s, so it was one of the first things that was colonized. On the flight back, it was the 4th of July, and it was really interesting to sit on a plane and look at the fireworks, because I always think of the fireworks as filling the whole sky, but from the airplane, it looked like play fireworks. It was just little tiny things at 3,500 feet up. And that was such a surprise. And you could see fireworks flying on the 4th of July off in the distance, but they were always just little tiny sparkles. Nothing like what we see from the ground.
This was the summer of 1970. It was the year that I graduated from high school. And I decided I wanted to spend the summer working on a dairy farm. I wanted to experience working on a farm. So we found this family in DeSoto, Wisconsin, which is a small farm town right across the Mississippi River from Iowa in Wisconsin. The name of the farm family was the Fausts. They loved being farmers. They didn't want any other lifestyle other than farming. They had about 100 cows, dairy cows, and they milked them every day. They were very, very poor. They were tenant farmers. They didn't have their own land. They were so poor that they depended on their garden for most of their food. And if the garden didn't yield anything, we would have to drink milk for dinner because they really had no other food. So it was my first experience with rural poverty. And when 4th of July rolled around, it was the only day of the year that they took a holiday. Even, you know, on Christmas and all other days, you know, when you're a dairy farmer, you have to milk the cows every day. There's just no stopping. And apparently they worked every single day of the year. But on the 4th of July, after they milked the cows in the morning at about 5 o'clock, they were going to take the rest of the day off. And this was their one big holiday of the year. So they discussed what they wanted to do on this very precious day, and they decided they wanted to go fishing. So they went to the Mississippi River with their fishing equipment, and they spent the day on the river fishing on the banks. But the thing is, it was their only day off, their only holiday. And so they also wanted to wear their formal party clothes. It was their only opportunity to wear fancy clothes. So all the women dressed up in fancy dresses and high heels, and the men in what was their equivalent of a tuxedo, which is a very fancy dress suit and fancy shoes. And they all stood on the Mississippi River from the banks, fishing in those clothes.
The place I love to go on 4th of July is Williams, Iowa. They have a big 4th of July display up there and an all-day celebration with church ladies making all this great food and parade and everything, and probably one of the best fireworks displays in Iowa. I went up there one night and watched the fireworks, and I saw this long stream of traffic get out of the small town. And what it reminds me of is the long string of traffic you saw winding into the Field of Dreams in the movie. And I thought, this is hopeless, you know. I just am going to wait till all these cars go. And I just went downtown and walked around and loitered. And here this man drove up in a 1950s Studebaker. He and his wife were in that car. And they said, this is the car we dated in. And I couldn't believe it, and they wanted me to help move a sign. Well, the building owned by this man was full of vintage autos, and it's still there. I think maybe you could still, on an appointment basis, tour this building. Right there on Williams, Iowa, Main Street, where most of the storefronts are boarded up, is this three-story building. Inside are, I would say, 80 cars or something on three floors. And they're all convertibles, and they're all from the 40s and 30s. And he had Bing Crosby's old Woody station wagon. And so in this little town of Williams, on 4th of July, I discovered this gem of all these vintage cars parked on three floors of this building in downtown Williams. And I think you can go to any rest area in the state of Iowa, and there's, last time I checked, there was a brochure on this auto museum. It's in Williams, Iowa. They showed me a whole new world of vintage convertible automobiles going back to, pre-World War II, actually. That was just fantastic. It's just a marvelous thing what they do on the 4th of July in Williams, and they still do it. So in all kinds of small towns in Iowa, a lot of special things happen on the 4th of July, and always have.
My name's Henry Corbin, and I am from Nevada, Iowa. And my favorite 4th of July memory will be going out to my great aunt and uncles, and they're out in the country, and we go to watch the fireworks there, and my family would be here from all over, from out in Philadelphia and even close by, and it was just nice for everyone to gather around. We'd watch the fireworks and have sparklers, and it was just good to see all our family there. So that'd be my favorite 4th of July memory.
I'm Alex Fafer from Ames, Iowa. One year around 2010, we went on a parking ramp in Campustown to watch the fireworks. We waited for 2 hours before we realized that the fireworks were canceled due to impending rain.
The flag I see, a certain word, and democracy. What is America to me? The house I live in, the friends that I have found, the folks beyond the railroad, and the people all around. The worker and the farmer, the sailor on the sea, the men who built this country, that's America to me. The words of old Abe Lincoln, of Jefferson and Payne, of Washington and Jackson, and the tasks that still remain. The little bridge at Concord, where freedom's fight began, our Gettysburg and Midway, and the story of the tan. The house I live in, my neighbors white and black, the people who just came here, often generations back. The town hall and the soapbox, the torch of liberty, a home for all God's children, that's America to me. The house I live in, the goodness everywhere, a land of wealth and beauty, with enough for all to share. a house that we call freedom, the home of liberty, but especially the people that's America to me. But especially the people that's the true America.
I grew up in Oklahoma where it's super, super hot in July, and growing up without having too many celebrations. And we didn't have a parade to go to, so it was just mostly the kids in the neighborhood getting sparklers and other fireworks that you could buy, and they weren't dangerous. And my father would always make homemade ice cream, which was so delicious and so different from store-bought ice cream, and a cookout in the backyard, and that was essentially our July 4th.
This is Julio Camarota sharing a 4th of July that was particularly memorable for him.
Well, the most memorable 4th of July was when I was a graduate student at Berkeley, California, and I was asked by the Marxist bookstore to come in and talk about colonialism of Puerto Rico on 4th of July. So it was very memorable for me. I don't celebrate 4th of July because of the fact that Puerto Rico is not an independent sovereign nation. It is actually a colony of the United States. So it was a great honor to go to speak on 4th of July and provide people with some basic information about U.S. imperialism, U.S. colonialism, and letting them know at that particular time there was a struggle around Vieques, which is an island off of Puerto Rico, and people were struggling to actually, Puerto Ricans were struggling to actually get rid of the U.S. naval presence there on Vieques Island. So I was able to give that information and felt like that was the proper way for me as a Puerto Rican to celebrate 4th of July.
My gypsy history, we actually don't celebrate the 4th of July, but it's still a tense subject for my family. I still feel that it does not apply to my family as it applies to everyone else. We still travel around. We do not live in houses. And people actually look down upon us as if we're homeless, even though we get to travel everywhere and see things that you don't normally get to see. Originally, we are a mixture of Romanian families with Irish, Welsh, and a little bit of Native American. The gypsy part is that it means like we have our Irish travelers, and then we have the Romanians, and then we have our traders from Egypt too. We have a little bit of them. Yes, people will go buy the fireworks and set them off, but we don't celebrate the 4th of July because it technically was not made for gypsy descent back in the day. It was celebrated for white Americans, and we were not considered the right citizens for this new country. We were considered less. They basically put us at the same level as what they thought of the Native Americans back in the day. Basically, we came to the country way long time ago, and we had family members of the Native Americans, and because of that, basically, we coexist, and we made more friendships with the Irish and with the black slaves later on, and with the Native Americans. My mother was actually about 30% Native American. I'm a bit more of a 15, maybe a little less. It depends on the mixture of the father figure, which sadly did not stay very long due to the wars. Had to go out and fight and still wasn't welcomed. It's kind of hard to describe. If you know your history, means like when the 4th of July was first made, it was made for the people who were from the colonies. It wasn't for the slaves. It wasn't for the black slaves, the white slaves. It wasn't made for people of gypsy descent. It wasn't made for the Native Americans. So the 4th of July has branched out into this holiday of celebrating with grills and alcohol and fireworks. But do many people actually understand deep down what the beginning of it was, because every news I hear about is people are saying we have to shoo this person away, we have to shoo that person away. And I just feel that, I mean, like, it's a great holiday for people to celebrate, to understand that, yes, we became free that day by signing a piece of paper, because it was the signing of the Declaration. If they didn't sign a piece of paper, none of us would actually be here and be what we are today. But how many people actually understand that they worked so hard to get to that point after signing that piece of paper? I mean, happy 4th of July for everyone that's celebrating it, and thank the ones from the old days. But understand that not everybody celebrates 4th of July, and I mean, like, don't look down upon them because they don't. Some people might not celebrate it because it might be a death of a loved one, or they lost somebody due to a war. Or because, I mean, yes, we go see fireworks. And yes, we understand that it's for the celebration of this country with the idea of this becoming a country. We live the gypsy dream. We do not live the American dream, but we are Americans.
Before they were adolescents, we took our boys to these celebrations in West Lafayette, Indiana, and I believe it was in some kind of park. Maybe there was a band shell there. I can't quite remember. Small pond. And a bunch of our friends and neighbors would get together, and we'd take our blankets and our chairs and some cold drinks. Before that, we would have eaten, you know, the typical 4th of July kind of food, something grilled out or hot dogs and, again, homemade ice cream, beer, wine. And then we would arrive all at the same time to this place where all the celebration was happening. And the kids would just run around and get dirty and sweaty and scream their hearts out and wait and wait. And they'd also have sparklers, the same type that I played with when I was a little girl. And as the kids were romping around playing with each other and new kids, the parents would just sit around and talk and tell stories and of what they remember from their 4th of July's growing up. A gigantic orchestra to play music all the while before the fireworks started. There was this great piece of music, and there would always be this kind of very sort of energetic leading up to the percussion part that was sort of this loud boom, and the children and the families that I was with would always yell that boom out when it was ready to come. We anticipated it coming, so it made it more exciting and kind of crazy. And then after the music was the fireworks, and the fireworks was, I'm sure this wasn't uncommon. We would rate the fireworks in terms of how huge they were, how colorful they were, how long they lasted up in the air. And some of them were duds, of course, so we all had great fun. I think we all have that longing to be together in small groups and to make those connections with our own smaller community, but also with the larger community. So I think what really struck me at these celebrations in Indiana that we went to as a family were that they were always fun, that family was there. It's food, fun, family, and if I had to say it, freedom as well. Freedom for the kids to just play, freedom from work, and the freedom as Americans to assemble in peaceful ways and in ways that included all kinds of people. So I think it also made me think about what it does mean to be an American, that sense of solidarity that you get from just being with other people, other Americans. And I would never particularly call myself ultra patriotic, but I think we're all patriotic in the sense that we all want America to shine and for America to live up to its reputation. At that time, we were all healthy and well off enough that we could have the leisure to get off of work and not have to work two shifts or anything like that. That it was just, you know, a small time in our history, my family's history, of having the luxury of being able to go to a celebration. And thankful at that time that America was in a peaceful time. This was in the 80s, relatively peaceful, and that we were just able to participate, I think. So gratefulness, I think, was my main feeling, and a feeling also it's good to be an American at certain times in our lives. And that was one of the times, that feeling of for a few days just to have the leisure and to have be able to have fun and kick back. Yeah, ease was good. Definitely ease.